In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. The teaching today is about God is light and about how light overcomes darkness. Light always overcomes darkness. God is more powerful than darkness, and this is our hope and our prayer for the future. We know that God wins because God is more powerful than the dark side. You know, it's still a Star Wars meme there, right? I'm going to start out. We're going to read, the first five verses of John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Now, so we're going to go, when it's saying there, in the beginning was the Word, in the beginning, God created everything. God was here before, but before God started creating the earth, light and dark, there was nothing. It was all void. And then if we go to Genesis 1, the first five verses of Genesis 1, 1 through 5. I should have marked this. Lost my place in my Bible. Does somebody have Genesis 1, 1 through 5 right there that wants to read? Okay. Okay, thank you. So when God created light, before that there was nothing. Darkness, it doesn't say anything about darkness being created because there was no need for darkness to be created. It was not a creation, it was just darkness is void. Darkness is the absence of light. And God separated knowledge of good and evil, knowledge of what is right by creating light. And in the light, we can take and see. Darkness was not a creation. Light is a creation. Light is of God. Everything that was created is of God. And the darkness just divides us from God and not having God. And when it says in there, in John 1 and 2, when it talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, you can see there, is with a capital W. And the Word was with God. God is with a capital W. And He was in the beginning with God. And Him is a capital letter. When it talks about, when it has a capital letter, it's talking about God, talking about Christ. So the, Christ was there from the beginning. He is God. He's a part of God, and God, Christ was there in the beginning when light and dark, or when light was created to overcome the dark. And it says all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made. So everything we have, God and Christ was a part of it. God was a part of the creation right from the start. And then when we look in verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, in order for us to have life and accept Christ, we have, Christ is our light. Christ is what gives us our light and gives us our knowledge between, doing the right thing and being in the right place and being able to see what's all going on. Because, as we're going to see in a little example here, without light, we don't see what's going on. We have to have Christ. And in John, in 1 John 5:11, it says, and this is testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And in John 8:12, it talks about how Christ is the light of men. He is our light that helps us to understand God and know God's truth. In John 8:12, it says, Jesus spoke unto them again, said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so it's important that we accept Christ so that we have that light, so that we can take and walk forward and know and see what's all around us and everything. And of course, what's the most famous verse that everybody knows, John 3:16. You guys all know that one, right? Can we say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And we have that choice. It's just like we have the choice to turn the light on or not have the light on. If you want to walk into a dark room and be in a dark world, you cannot turn the light on. You cannot accept Christ. But if you do accept Christ, then you're going to have that light and be able to see the future and see and experience God's power. And in verse 5 of John 1, it says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I kind of like the way the NIV words that in it. It says, the darkness does not overcome it. Instead of comprehend just another word of overcome or be, it's not a matter of understanding, but it's a matter of having power over it. The darkness has no power over the light. And I'm going to take and do a little demonstration here. Don't get freaked out here, but I'm going to have him turn out the lights for just a moment. You guys ready? Okay. Ooh, pretty dark, huh? But a little bit of light, so you can see a little bit of light from the exit signs and a monitor back there in the back, this and up here. But true light, now we can actually see what's in the corners. Without this, you can't see what's in the corners and stuff, but here we can take and see around, and light is overcoming the darkness. Now go ahead and turn those back on, Frank. Now, the other side of it, let's try the other side. You guys probably have an app on your phone, right? There's an app for everything. I want to see the app that shines darkness over there in that light. You don't have that? Doesn't work, does it? Because it is absolutely impossible for darkness to overcome light. It takes just a little bit of light. In this room, we have actually quite a few lights and stuff in here. If you had those exit signs off, that monitor's off, and that one's back there is off, it would be so dark that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And that's because there's an absence of light. But once we have light, it just takes a little bit, and you can take and see everything in a room. So that's why, and throughout the Bible, if you look in places, you can look up scriptures and stuff, God is always, often portrayed as being light. His light, he is what created light. That was the beginning of creation, was light. And that's what God is to us. He's our light that helps us to see where we're going. So, okay, we're talking about light and how good light is. But what's wrong with darkness? Anybody got it?
Well, if a room is completely dark, you can trip over stuff.
It's what?
So if a room is completely dark, you can trip on stuff.
Okay, so you can trip on stuff in the dark?
Yeah, you won't be able to see where you're going.
Right? What else happens in the dark? Maybe evil stuff. You know, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm a cop. I'm a sheriff's deputy. And what I do, part of my job is I go out, like a business or a church or a school or something might call me and say, hey, we want you to come to our and do a threat evaluation. We want you to take and see how safe we are. What kind of things can we do? Well, what kind of things might be making us vulnerable to somebody hurting us or stealing stuff or damaging something? And one of the first things that what do you think the first thing I'm going to look for? Is it going to be bars on the windows and a big wall and armed guards? What am I going to look for? Light, maybe? Lighting. You know, as a sheriff's deputy or a police officer, when I'm out patrolling and I'm driving by buildings and businesses and homes and stuff, I want to see houses and see places that are lit, because if a place is dark, then somebody with evil intent that might want to break into a place and steal can break into that place very easily because it's dark over there. They can do it under the cover. You can't see what I'm doing because it's dark over here. The number one easiest thing to do to protect your home and your people or whatever is to have light. Just doesn't take much light, but just enough light that, you know, that bad guy's going to look over and say, well, that house over there, that business over there, boy, they've got lights all around and stuff like that, but that one's dark. I'm going to go over here so I can do the things I want to hide. I want to hide from the law. I want to hide from getting caught. I want to hide from consequences for my bad behavior. So they're going to take and go in the dark. So if we have light, which is Christ, we've got Christ and the light of Christ to help show us and reveal to us what is the right thing to do. And it also, if we're in the light, everybody else can see what we're doing too, right? Right? If you're in the light of Christ and people know you're a Christian, they're going to expect you and anticipate you to do what you're not ashamed of. They're going to anticipate and see you, and maybe they're a bad person, but and you're not perfect, right? Well, maybe he is. No, he's not either. You're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes, but if your mistakes are going to be known to man, they're going to be known to you, they're known to Christ, and when you make that mistake and then you repent of that mistake, you do so also in the light. And what you do is like, it's in Matthew chapter 5, I think, says you do not hide your light under a basket. It's like on top of a hill, visible, well seen to everybody, you're providing a light to all around. And as a Christian, as Christians, we are providing a light for the people there in the dark. If as a Christian you walk into a room where there's people not doing the right thing, the light of Christ should shine in you. And those people are going to know that, hey, there's a Christian in the room. This is somebody that loves the Lord. This is somebody who wants to take and do the right thing. So that's what's wrong with the darkness. We don't want to be in the dark. And let me find the right scripture. And the thing you were saying there about tripping in the dark, if we're in the darkness and we trip, that's just the same as, you know, okay, well, I'm not in God's light. I don't see, and I can, boop, I'm going to make a mistake because I'm not following Christ. I don't have the light around me. And if you have the light around you, it helps to protect you and keep you from making mistakes. Also keeps you from being attacked. The light of Christ around us, what keeps us being attacked from demons and Satan. You know, Satan says, she belongs to the Lord. I can't mess with her, right? And And Psalms 119, 105 is a perfect verse for your example. I'll even let you look it up and read it for me since you're right there, and that was your example about tripping. 119, 105. I think Psalms is the longest chapter in the Bible, isn't it? Right. It's one of my favorite verses. That, you know, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. You know, and this is the word. This is the word of Christ. And this is what tells us, you know, gives us the light to take in, follow the right path and to stay on the path that we need to be on. And yeah, it's in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it says, where Christ says, you are the light of the world. You know, light is not meant to be hidden, but it's meant to shine forth and to glorify God. And then when we go over to Ephesians 5, 8 through 11, says, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. Before we knew Christ, we were in the dark. Once we accept Christ, we're in the light, and we walk as children of light to be an example. And going on into, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what the light does, isn't it? The light exposes darkness. It exposes the works of darkness. And we as Christians, when we see somebody doing the wrong thing, we should be able to tell them, you know what? God doesn't like that. That's the rules I live by, because my Lord, tells me that He wants me to do the right thing, and what you're doing over here is not a part of me, and we are not to take part in what the works of darkness are and what the evilness are. It says we're not supposed to have fellowship with evil people in their deeds. Now, when you go to school next week, does the school start for everybody next week, right? Oh, homeschooled. Oh, bummer. But when you go and hang out with other people and stuff like see other people and everything, you're going to see people doing the wrong thing occasionally, right? You're going to see people, does it mean that, you can't be in the same room with somebody who does bad things? No. Because if you leave the room, then you've just taken the light out of the room. And you can be that light when you're in the room. There's a difference between being in a room or being in the area or in the vicinity or around people that do evil things, but you're not to take part in actually doing those evil things with them. You may be able to say, you know, that's wrong for you to take and talk smack about those people like that. That's cruel. That's mean. Yes, that's wrong for you to do that. I'm not going to take part in doing that. And what are you doing when you do that? Are you being a light? You're being a light by sharing with them that this is the wrong thing to do, and I can't take part in that. Now, are you going to go to them and say, you're a bad person because you're doing that? No, you can't do that. You don't. God doesn't tell us to go over there and tell the people, you're an evil, wicked person, but God tells us we should tell them when they're, let them know when they're doing wrong, right? You know, God loves that person. And you can tell that person that. Tell those people that, you know, God loves you. I love you. I think you're a great person. I really like hanging out with you, but you're doing the wrong thing. And I can't take part in doing those wrong things with you. You know, I'm going to have set myself apart. We are set apart, aren't we? As the definite, as saints of Christ, you know, we are all saints when we become believers. And do you know what the definition of saint is? Stephen does. He's just shy, not going to tell me. Saint is set apart, to set apart from the others. We as Christians are set apart from those that do wrong because we have been saved. We have accepted Christ. He's cleansed us of our sins. So we're set apart, and we can be around and see and talk to and share with people that might be doing the wrong thing because they're in the dark. And when we come into their lives, we want to be, if I can get it back out of my pocket, we want to be their light. We want to take and shine a little light on them and shine a little light on their feet. Say, oh, don't trip over here. You don't want to do that. Come, let's do the right thing. And help convince them to do the right thing rather than to do wrong. You know, if we go to 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? You guys know what a yoke is? What's a yoke? So what? Okay, what a yoke is like, say, when a farmer has, say, he has two oxen, or maybe mules, something really stubborn, that he's going to plow a field with. And so that they will pull equally, he'll set them up. There's a yoke is like a big wooden thing or that puts them together, shoulder to shoulder, so that they can pull together and put the same power and stuff on what they're pulling. But if they're unequally yoked, let's say you have a real powerful mule here on one side and you've got a donkey here on the other side. And that donkey can't pull very strong, can he? He's pretty small. He like weighs a third of what that mule does. But and that's unequally yoked. One of them is very strong and the other is not strong. And so the one here is, and it, you're going to have crooked rows because this one here is going to be pulling and then trying to catch, let the other one catch up and then let this one pull. And so they're going to have crooked rows. If they're equally yoked, the farmer can do nice straight rows in the field. About being yoked, not, for us not to be unequally yoked, it means that the people that we bond with, you know, a lot of people apply this to marriage, and it's true, to apply it, to, you know, that's the ultimate yoke or bond between two people is marriage, but it can be as a partnership in a business. It can be as a friendship, the person that, you know what? I want to hang out with you, and I want to take and be out here doing things with you. And we're going to do our homework together, and we're going to go to music together, and we're going to go do fun stuff together. But if the person you're not yoked, or that you're yoked with, is not seeing the light, is that person doesn't have the light, then that person is going to drag you back a little bit. You know, you're going to be wanting to go straight and forward, but that person dragging over, so you're going to kind of stray off the path over here. And then it's kind of, you know, gee, hey, come on, let's do the right thing. And that person going to pull you over to the side again. And then, so you want to have somebody that believes the same as you. That's the fellowship is being yoked. When you're yoked to that person, you have strong fellowship with them, you're pulling together. We both see the light, and we're both going towards that light, and that's the kind of person you want to hang out with, and that's the kind of strength that you want to have in your life is the light, because, again, what fellowship does light have with darkness? A lot of times, God uses light and darkness to define Christian relationships and the Christian life. You know, if you're in the light, you know where you're going. You're not going to trip. You know what the goal is. You can see the dangers, and you're going to move towards your goal, right? Got to have some light. Because if Frank turns the lights out over here and we turn out all the exit lights and everything, we're not going to, you know, in fact, it'd be kind of cool, but we're not going to do it. But what if we turned every single light out, and then we got you guys to take and stand up, close your eyes, and just turn around about 5 or 6 times. Would you know which way to go to the door? He would. How would you know? You wouldn't be able to see it. You might make a wild guess, huh? And then your nose would be bleeding because you walked right into that wall right there, right? So, and if we go to 1 John 1:5-7. Let's go to 1 John. You know, we have John and we have 1 John. It's right there close to the end. There we go. First John 1. In 1 John 1, 5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So, that's kind of self-evident, right? You know, if we say that we have Christ in our lives, but we're walking in a dark places, do we really have fellowship with Christ? Like, say, if I say that I have fellowship with Christ, but I'm going and hanging out in a drug house and doing drugs or something, do I really have fellowship with Christ? If I say that I have Christ and I'm hanging around in a dark place, or Madam, whatchamacallit, is like telling fortunes or something like that and looking at the stars, do I really have the light, or am I seeking the darkness? I would be hiding the darkness, wouldn't I? If we are to, you know, if we want to walk in Christ and walk in Christ's ways, we want to continue light and doing what it says right here, right? This is our owner's manual for life, the Bible. So again, that's going back to, you know, having fellowship. Oop, I lost my page. Cassia, did you do that? Did you make me lose my page? Oh, there we go. And I want to take and go to Psalm 18:28. If everybody can go to Psalm 18:28. I want to close with this today. This, I want to be what you guys think about this week. Think about it when you go to sleep at night. Think about when you start your day, about how you want your day to go. This is my prayer. This is going to be my prayer as well this week. My prayer to Christ each day is I'm going to read this verse and pray to Him this. And if you guys will read aloud with me. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. What that does for me, and I hope it will do the same for you, is it will give me assurance that whatever I face that day, each night, is going to be that God is going to light my way. My assurance that He is there. He's going to light my lamp. The batteries are running out on this, but the batteries of God don't ever go out. You know, God's battery is eternal, right? And once we leave this life and we're eternally with Him, once we know Christ, we're going to be with Him forever. But I want whatever I face this week, each day of this week, I want God enlightening my darkness and protecting me and keeping me from the evil. And I know He's going to do that. And I know He'll do the same for you. Okay? Amen? All right. Dear Lord, I thank You for this good day You've given us. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to share Your word. And Lord, I just ask You to be with us and protect us and to keep Your light around us, Lord, and keep us in Your light and keep us mindful of the light as You overcome whatever dark things may come our way in Your eternal and all-powerful light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.